Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. And welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host, and I'm so glad you've joined me again for another episode. Or if this is your first time listening, thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, and I hope that you'll enjoy this episode and check out some of our past episodes and some of our future ones. We've got some great shows coming up, and I'm so glad that we can bring different guests and resources on to help inform, equip, and encourage the KidMin community like we've been doing for so long. So thanks for doing that. And, you know, after watching a lot of different Facebook groups that I'm a part of, and including the Kid Ministry Collective group, I've noticed a trend. Many leaders are really struggling with recruitment and recruiting volunteers and holding on to them and what to do when I have them and what do I do when I have toxic ones and all those kind of things. And a lot of leaders are really frustrated right now. And you may be one of them that's just, this is really bothering you. You're really burdened by why you can't find more leaders, or how do I keep good ones, or how do I raise the level? And so we're going to be doing a series over the next few weeks, months, about volunteering. So be watching for that. But I wanted to kick off this series with my good friend who's got a fantastic new resource that's helping leaders break through some of these topics. And so, Josh Denhart, welcome back to the KMC. It's been a little while since we've had you on.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad to have you back.
Thanks, man. I'm glad to be here. This is going to be fun.
It is. It's going to be a great conversation. Now, I know a lot of my listeners know who you are, but there's probably some that don't. I don't know where they've been living all these years, but hey, okay, it's all right. No. That's good. But hey, tell us about who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, so Josh Denhart. I was a former high school chemistry teacher turned children's pastor. Kind of interesting, right? And so after a full career as a professionally trained educator, I got a master's in effective instruction, national board certified in young adult adolescent science. So really classically trained as an educator. And then I transitioned all of my vocational energies into a full-time role at a rather large church. And so in that role, gosh, you know, Tom, I maybe some listeners could identify with this. I stepped into the deep end of the pool. There was no like, you know, it wasn't like, hey, let's start at the little kiddie pool. Let's get your ankles wet. Let's learn how to tread water. This was like the 13-foot deep section, you know, and I walked in, right? And I guess I walked in. It was kind of probably a good thing to not know what I didn't know. But I ended up, like my very first day, I had 250 volunteers on a month in, month out basis that I was responsible for, and 200, I tell you, people who were on actually 250 every week, 200 on a month in, month out basis. So that's a lot of people, my friend.
That is a lot. That is a lot.
And so that, given that, right, I had a lot of pains and a lot of startup frustrations and gosh, would I even be able to successfully do this? And then over those years, right, I ended up creating systems that would prevent my own personal burnout, right? How could I do this for the long term? And as I did over the last 15 plus years of serving in a ministry context, I ended up creating a resource called Lead Volunteers. And so, yes, I do the amazing chemistry show all over the country. Yes, I have three different vacation Bible schools called Science VBS. But Lead Volunteers is really my current passion, is to, you know, challenge and equip leaders to be better at recruiting, training, and retaining volunteers.
And that's awesome. That is awesome. And so, yeah, if you haven't checked out Josh, we're going to give more information at the end of the program here where you can go check out his awesome Bible school kits, or bring him into your church for an incredible family experience and program and outreach and a way to even get into the local schools.
Yep.
We'll tell you more about that at the very end, for sure. But, you know, like you said, you struggled. You jumped right into the whole deep end for sure and experienced, I'm sure, you know, sometimes leaders think, well, if I had more people, it would be easier to recruit. and so I think that's going to be a fun thing we'll talk about here. But why do you think so many leaders, you know, over your experience, struggle with this idea of recruitment? Because that, like I said earlier in the intro, this is a big problem for leaders.
Guaranteed.
There's a lot of discussion on discussion boards and in conferences. You know, I've looked at a lot of the most recent fall conferences, looking ahead at some of the other conferences and what they're offering for breakouts. There is a lot of discussion, a lot of leaders out there saying, hey, you know, here's some things to do for recruitment. So
yeah, well, first of all,
they struggle so much.
Well, first, let me say this. If in fact Jesus himself said these words, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest. If he said that, this is not going to be something that is ever going to not be an issue. Mm-hmm. Jesus himself said, harvest is plentiful, workers are few. That's that. I call that God's math. It's always going to be that way. However, we can do some things to make it easier. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a constant struggle. This is not going away anytime soon. But one of the main reasons, Tom, that I think leaders struggle with this is they approach it from that completely wrong perspective. The majority of leaders that I see, they approach the recruiting conversation as if they are taking something away from people's lives, and they're not viewing this as bringing value and opportunity and treasure in heaven to these people. Listen, they come into the conversation from a position of, now, hey, listen, I know you don't want to do this, but are you kidding me? That is the worst place to start. Share the vision, not the sacrifice. So that's what I see the most. That's where most leaders struggle. They think in their minds that they're taking something from people. Right. They're not viewing this as providing value and even treasure in heaven.
Right. Oh, that's you're spot on. I'm not going to argue that one at all. I was trying to think, oh, am I going to push back on you? No, can't on that one. You're absolutely right. We've got to be careful of how we think. I like that. Share the value, not the sacrifice. That's really, really good. So if you were to give, and I know this is difficult because you just wrote this whole big curriculum to lower it down to two, but we'll talk more about the other parts in a little bit. But if you had two top tips, and normally I would save this kind of thing for the end too, but I want people to see, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. I want to stay tuned here. What are your two top tips for recruiting? If you had to say, Josh, give me your top two things.
Yeah. I would say, now this is going to sound very like almost counterintuitive and almost like, what is he talking about? My top recruiting line, please listen. My top recruiting line is this. I say to people, quote, please feel the freedom to say no. I tell people they can say no guilt-free. I want to remove all human and personal persuasive pressure. Listen, I am a gifted communicator. I do have, like on the Strength Finders, I'm a very strong woo. I can win others over. But listen, if they should not be in this role right now, please do all of us a favor and say no. So at some point in the recruiting conversation, I'm going to give them the largest out that I possibly can. I'm going to say, please feel the freedom to say no. But if you feel God is indicating to your heart to do this, by all means, say yes. Mm-hmm. And that's a really powerful thing because all of a sudden it puts them in a position of power, in a sense. It puts them in a position of, wow, I can make this decision and I don't need to feel pressure. So that sounds counterintuitive, but my number one thing, I want to provide people the freedom to say no. Number two, this is an interesting one. Hey, listen, top tip for recruiting, start 3 weeks ago. Recruiting is a process. It literally takes time for them to get back to you. The back and forth of communicating, them asking their spouses, mm-hmm. them forgetting to ask their spouse. It doesn't happen in one conversation. So many leaders are like, oh my word, I'm backed up against a wall. Well, you should have started 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a bonus.
Okay.
So you said you, okay. Yep, but our bonus right. is going to kind of maybe lead us to our next one. Here's the deal. Stop all the tricks and gimmicks. There's nothing short of a tap on the shoulder. So recruiting tip number one, give them the freedom to say no. Recruiting tip number two, start 3 weeks ago. And number three, stop the tricks and the gimmicks. They literally don't work. I have tried every single one of them. Okay. They all fail.
Now, I know somebody out there is thinking, okay, Josh, if I tell them that they can say no, they're going to say no.
Fair.
You know, and I can't afford that. You know, I'm in a small church. What I don't want to, I mean, you can you,
I get it. Me Trust me.
I mean, yeah. I think there's people out there going, oh, how does that work? That definitely.
Absolutely. Well, please understand that I don't lead with that phrase.
Right.
This is a closing phrase. My first 5 to 7 minutes is I'm sharing a compelling vision for serving. That is, as I said earlier, I'm not sheepishly coming to the conversation saying, oh, I know you don't want to do this. I'm sharing what could be theirs. This is like an opportunity for something. I'm not taking something away from them. Yeah. In addition, I've done my homework. I know them. I know what they think about. I know who they are, where they've served before. And I'm personalizing this vision casting for them. And it's at the end. When maybe they might think that I'm going to go into some pressure sales pitch.
Right.
That's when I say, hey, guess what? Feel the freedom to say no. And I tell you the truth. Is it a psychological bait and switch? Well, I got to be honest, a little bit. Yeah. Because if I tell them that they can have the freedom to say no, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. So he's not forcing me. Maybe I should say yes. It's a little bit of FOMO. It's a little bit of psychology, but it's also, listen, if you aren't supposed to do this, please don't. Because I've had the wrong people get on the bus.
Yes.
So I want to avoid that.
Yeah. And we are going to talk about that big issue in just a few minutes here too. That's really good. And I'm glad you said that, because I know some people are thinking that. And so I wanted to make sure that they understand this is a good process here, that if you lead with the vision and the need of the role that you're looking for and what the impact can be. And then
yes.
do that. Yeah, it gives them the chance to breathe and decompress.
It does give them a chance to breathe. And all of a sudden, everybody's freaking out going, wow, wow, wow. I feel like they're putting me in a corner. No. There is no corner.
Yep.
It's helpful. Trust me. And by the way, do you think the first 200 times that I shared this that I wasn't scared to say those lines? Of course.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you, by and large, that is a pressure release. It's not a release for them to say no quickly. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good. That's okay. Good. Okay. So as leaders get into this, in recruiting a little bit, what's two things that, you know, since we did our top two tips of what they should do, but what are some things that maybe leaders should avoid doing during recruitment? Because
I kind of alluded to this one. I said, stop the gimmicks and the tricks, nothing short of the tap on the shoulder. Well, here's what I would do. Things not to do. I would avoid the following: senior pastor asking from the pulpit, fail. Cute videos, fail. Emotional videos, fail. Accosting people in the halls. I call it drive-by recruiting. Fail. Mass emails. Fail. Stop doing these ineffective things. And I know there have been at least half a dozen leaders that I've talked to recently, and they're like, you're right. Me begging the senior pastor to stand up and beg on our behalf, it doesn't produce healthy, good, long-lasting fruit. Mm. The other one I would say is, most people start making calls or setting up coffee appointments way too early. For me, so much goes into what I call pre-recruiting, knowing your personal needs. How many people do you need? Where might those needs, like filling out charts of where you need, how many of this, how many of that, you know, having your redirect sheets. If they say no to this, could they say yes to this? Could I like in a sense, like downsell, they say, no, I can't do 40 slots a year in Sunday school. Okay, could you do check-in once a month? Whatever.
Yeah.
Creating the common complaints sheets, all of those things. Like if I could give you a picture of what it looks like when I'm recruiting, it's like Captain Kirk right, from whatever, Star Trek, with this massive dashboard of all of these pre-prepared resources. A lot of people don't go into recruiting having their ducks in a row. Right. They kind of go in and wing it. Not a good move.
Agreed. That's for sure. Okay. So I want to make a hard shift, because really where I want to go with this podcast is to a more uncomfortable part of volunteer management. You know, because oftentimes leaders either come into a ministry where there's some they've inherited a team. That's probably the best way to say it. And there might be some players that aren't in the right place, or as you've already alluded to, not on the right seat of the bus. And so a lot of leaders I know struggle with this as well, of what do I do when I have a team that's unhealthy, when I have a player that's the source of that. And so I want to jump into this idea of firing, or what I'd rather say, releasing a volunteer from serving, if you want to be nice about it, Christianize it. But ultimately, we're letting them go. We're firing them. So I got to ask you, because obviously, with a team as big as you had and in your experience, you've probably come across where you've had to let some people go at times. So
absolutely,
why would you fire or release a volunteer?
I would say there's three main categories. I would say misplaced gifting. I would say life stage issues. And then I would say sin. And I'm going to talk about each briefly. Misplaced gifting. Listen, right person, wrong role, wrong person. Okay. I mean, if they're a good, godly person, they've met all the criteria and the background check, they're godly, they know the scriptures, but they're just in the wrong role. They're the wrong person for that role. Okay, so it's a misplaced gifting. I need to find them a new seat. Okay, so that's one category of why somebody might need to be released or be offboarded and onboarded someplace else. Another one, simple, life stage issue. Okay, like a challenging season of their life, but it's not a sin issue, right? Maybe they're pregnant. I mean, in children's ministry, you don't know how many times I've had the best right person and I find out that they're pregnant and I'm like, wow, I'm rejoicing for you. But that means you're not going to be able to serve for a good 6 months, right? And that's normal. But let's take away a challenging season. Let's just call it life stage season or whatever. Maybe their husband has a new job. Maybe their mother-in-law has health issues. A child has an illness, or just straight up personal burnout, right? So they may be misplaced gifting, but they may be the perfect fit, but their life stage, things outside of church, are kind of. Right. Complex for them. And I want to provide room for that. The last one is sin. Okay. It could be their own sin that's hurting them, like a moral issue or a failure. Certainly I've dealt with navigating those waters. However, it might be someone else's sin who's hurting them. Maybe a spouse's moral failure. Maybe it's not their failure, but that sin issue is now affecting them, though they didn't cause the mess. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
So those are categories. And I really want to tell people, if I can view somebody and kind of sum it up and go, okay, what is the issue? Is it their wrong fit? Is it their current life stage? Or is it their sin or somebody else's sin? That's a good place to start.
And here's what I liked to how you said that. You showed me just in a nonverbal way, but through your words, that you're putting the person ahead of everything else. What I heard from you as a leader, and this is what I want other younger leaders to grab onto, that it's when you come to this place, it's not personal, but it is personal. Meaning that
I totally agree with that.
And not just what they do for you is what I'm talking about.
Praise the Lord for that.
So I appreciate how you said that, Josh, because that's what came across to me as you were talking. Is that you're a leader who sees people and says, hey, you know what? I love having you on my team. I love doing what you're doing. Or maybe I know you're not in the right place and I care enough to tell you. So
hallelujah.
We don't have enough.
I would say it comes down to being. Yes. I would say, to sum up what you're saying, is it's about being a shepherd first and a slot filler, a distant second.
Amen. There we go. Preach. All right. So let's say you have somebody and you've gotten into this place and you realize one of these three categories, and there are some other things I'm sure too that fill in on this, but how did you come to a decision to say, okay, it's time, I need to let him go, and kind of what's okay. that process look like?
Yeah, so it comes down to having a shepherd's eye. Or have you ever seen that, that great movie, National Treasure, right? Okay, and he's got those silly glasses for Benjamin Franklin or something that has these weird colored lenses, and then things pop out of the back of the Declaration of Independence. Yeah. Do you know the part of the movie I'm talking about?
One of my favorites.
So we as leaders, we need to have this really weird and yet invisible but also elaborate set of lenses that we can flip over and be observant of people around us. And so let's say this is now discernment, right? Because now I'm not on the prowl, but I'm looking out for health, right? If I'm a shepherd, I'm looking after sheep. I'm like, why is that one limping? What's going on there? Why is that one like distanced from the rest of the pack? What's going on there? Why is that one chronically laying down? So I'm assessing people. Mm-hmm, makes mm-hmm. sense so far? Okay. So I might discern, Tom, that it's a life stage issue. How could I discern that? Well, if I'm noticing they're chronically late, if I'm noticing that they're chronically absent, maybe like last minute, maybe Saturday night, habitually, yeah. they're saying, hey, right. I can't do this. Maybe they're looking frazzled on a Sunday morning and they're just out of sorts. That might give me an indication that a life stage issue might be a play. And I'm going to dig a little bit deeper. I'm going to maybe have a conversation with them to say, hey, how is this going? Okay, if it's a misplaced gifting issue, well, listen, sometimes it is just completely clear to me, but it's also clear to others that are close to me in the ministry that this person just straight up not equipped for this role. Listen, a great quote that I learned a long time ago, you can't take a duck to eagle school. There is no amount of training that will equip the wrong person, right. period. So I can be like, oh man, I missed that one. They're in the wrong seat. Another reason that I might discern that we got a misplaced gifting is if I have what I call cleanup on aisle 9. Their lack of ability in that role is causing me as the pastor to do damage control in the wake of their serving. Like if they are just simply, listen, they love kids, they understand the vision, but they don't know how to deal with kids, and they've got parents that are mad. They talk about the wrong things. They're just curt or harsh, whatever. And I've got cleanup on aisle 9. That's an indication that we might have a gifting issue. Okay. So you got life stage, you could discern those things. You got some misplaced gifting, we could discern those things. The sin issue that's come to light, this is a challenging one because sometimes, like as a pastor, like behind closed doors, we find out these things, right? Where all of a sudden, true story, I had a couple come to me and they're like, hey, he's been up to bad things and you know, so I learn those issues, or other pastors on staff might learn those issues and say, hey, I can't get into the details, but this person for this season, it's probably best if they're precluded from serving right now. And so sin issues do come to light. So those are the reasons or the decisions for how to discern whether they should be let go. And maybe we'll get into process in just a minute.
So, and that's what I want to jump into right now is, okay, so you've had it come to light. You've understood, you've done your research, you've seen the track record, you know, so each of these categories, you've got evidence, you've got a pattern. And so then you know, okay, I can't let this go on because the cost of not doing something is too great. So you set up
Understood.
A time to meet with them, then what? How do you proceed? Because I think this is one of those things. I know I came into a church where I had a couple leaders who were very toxic. Everybody knew about them. I mean, I couldn't believe the reputation they had. And I was told children's pastors ago, they should have dealt with this, and they tried a little bit, but then they hit a wall with them and they backed off. And so two children's pastors before me knew that these two were an issue and did nothing to handle it. And it was costing volunteers were leaving the ministry or weren't coming in.
Dude. Yeah. Scary. Yeah. And you're like, hey, thanks so much. Yeah. Right. Thank you so much, previous leader, for handing me.
Yeah. And even the executive pastor knew. and said, you know, one of the first things you might have to do is let these people go.
Yeah, well, one of the things they should have done is maybe deal with this in a healthy way a little bit ago. That's another story. That's another podcast.
To me, yeah, it totally is. So it's obvious to me that nobody knew how to deal with it and what to do when you come to that place. So give me the process of what you feel would be a healthy one to walk them through. How'd you handle it?
Understood. Well, there's two things. One, sometimes it straight up needs to be addressed right now. Sometimes you can wait it out. Now, I'm going to come back to the wait it out a little minute. And there's wisdom that I've learned. But by the way, these two things that I'm going to share, I've done it wrong, and this is a little bit more of how I've done it right. Listen, if it was a way number one, if it is a life stage, like they're spinning out of control, they're just having a wacky life season, they're pregnant, right? That's a positive, but maybe it's a life season, or maybe it's a sin issue, whether it's their sin or somebody else's sin. I would have the following conversation, and I have many times. I'm going to say it just like I would say it. Okay, Tom? Quote, well, let's imagine that I was a soccer coach and you were a star player and you broke your ankle and this ankle was like bad and it was distorted. A terrible coach would see this and exclaim, tape an aspirin to it and get back into the game. You and your health as a volunteer and as a human being are far more important than this ministry. A good coach, you see, would help guide that player to heal prior to any conversation about continuing to play. Listen, your situation, whether it's your sin or the sin of others or a challenging life circumstance, that demands that you take care of you right now. And I want to help you as a shepherd to take care of you. I am not a coach. I'm your pastor. And I want to shepherd you toward a season of being served rather than you serving. Does that make sense to you? That is, in a nutshell, a memorized,
that's really good,
like blurb that I have shared dozens of times. Now work with me. I've memorized it. I want to make it normalized so I don't sound like a stinking robot, but I also can personalize it to their situation. But it's about being a soccer coach that sees a mangled ankle. And by the way, if you've ever watched like a football movie or something, and you see the coach and that everybody hates, right? And he puts the injured player in for his own gain, and the music turns to be distorted, and you just loathe that person. Don't be that person. This is about somebody else's life. But watch this. Notice that I've shifted. Here's the important part, Tom. I've shifted the conversation to be about their health and not that they suck. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've said, listen, you're injured, whether it's your own life sin, somebody else has sinned against you. Because watch this. If their spouse has stepped out on them, and I had somebody say, well, why should I be punished for my spouse stepping out on me? Why are you punishing me? I said, no. Let me make sure you hear what I'm saying. The challenges of your life, not by your own hand, but by the sinful hand of another, your home life and your life is in turmoil. It's a train wreck. And the energy that you would be spending preparing a lesson or whatever, I want you to restrict all these other superfluous things so that all of your energies can be spent on healing your heart, rectifying the situation if God would so allow, and so on. And so I want to continue to make it about their health, because truly that's what it is. And by the way, whenever I've seen somebody have a challenging life circumstance and they are literally overwhelmed, and I help them, notice that I help them. I'm not trying to help myself. I help them to transition out of a ministry role onto the sideline for healing and help. Listen, a lot of these people get healthy and they come back and they love me more for helping steer their life. Does that make sense?
It does.
So this is the one that I'm proactively helping to move somebody maybe out of a role, maybe for a sin issue or a life stage. But I did say also that there's a time where I choose avoidance. Now, like most people are like, yeah, tell me about avoidance. That's what I do all the time. Well, I don't. Okay. I'm not an avoider. I do take things on, but there are times that there's some wisdom. Here's the interesting thing. I call it the stump in the field. As an example, there are times, by the way, the stump in the field only works if you have natural on-ramps and natural off-ramps. I call it the sunset clause. Maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. But if you have a natural off-ramp where in 4 months their time of serving is going to come to a close, they know it and you know it, you actually can wait somebody out. In other words, listen, is this that bad that they need to be removed? Okay, maybe not. But let's say that they're just a not good fit. It's not causing horrendous damage, but they are a key player in the church and they're very well known. Is there a political aspect to pastoring? I don't care what you say. There is. There are certain people that you want to deal a little bit more delicately with. I call this next concept the stump in the field. Okay, if I have somebody who is very deeply rooted and connected in the church, they got deep, deep, deep roots, and there's a stump, though, in the middle of the field, right? And I am moving. I'm an Iowa boy, right? So we have lots of fields. And if you have a stump in the field, you have to work around it, right? Otherwise, if you pulled it up, you could have a lot more acres to field. But listen, the removal of the stump sometimes could cause far more damage and upheaval than is worth it. Does that make sense, Tom? So there are certain people where I'm like, you know what? The best move right here, yes, they're toxic, but they started this ministry a long time ago. And I might set up a series of processes that they're just going to naturally fade out and I'm going to have to wait them out. Sometimes that's the wisest move. Now, if it's a moral issue, forget it. I'm not dealing with that. But sometimes a toxic issue, it's going to cause the toxic little bottle of their life to break and spill everywhere if I seek to address this. Some people are dangerous and I might choose to work around them and then have a natural opportunity to offload them and take them off at a more logical time. So sometimes I don't address it out of wisdom. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, with the story I started with is I did wait a little while before I did anything. I wanted to get to know and assess my own, not just the word from everybody else. So yeah, it does. It's a wise thing sometimes to take a look. Again, the stump's not going anywhere and you can take it out when you need to or work around it. So that's good. Yep. That's good. So if someone was considering the facts that they really do need to let someone go, give them some kind of final tips here to think about in this process.
You bet. Absolutely. Number one, I would say slow down. Mm-hmm. Chill out. Like, stop the anxiety attack, right? Like, cool your jets, get counsel. But more than anything, I would say take some time to consider which category they may be located. Is it a challenging life stage? Is it a sin issue? Or is this just a bad fit? And that alone helps you frame how you're viewing this situation. Does that make sense, Tom? Slow down. I've watched leaders just get their underwear in a wad and go rushing into something, and they're causing themselves more harm and more pain. Okay, the next thing I would say is, do you as a ministry have natural on-ramps and off-ramps for people to naturally get into a serving role, but also have a natural way to get out of a serving role? I call this the sunset clause. So there is a defined beginning. There is a defined middle, let's say high noon, and there's a defined end when the sun goes down. Listen, sun goes up, they start. Sun's at high noon, I have a very simple three-question little check-in with them. Sun goes down, everybody knows that everybody is free to part ways. They are free to go, and you are free to let them go. So there is a natural opportunity to assess whether it's a good fit for them or a good fit for us. If you don't have a sunset clause and you've just like signed somebody up for life and now you want to get rid of them, wouldn't it be nice if you had a natural space that everybody knows they could get off? You see what I'm saying?
I've had some people that's why they didn't want to join it and be on the team was because they heard they were going to, there was no way to get out. And I'm like, look, you're not signing a contract that says I must serve until Jesus returns. Now he could while you're there.
Okay, exactly. That's another podcast. Literally, that's another conversation that I think definitely needs to happen is, are you letting people know that there is an end game? But one of the reasons why you want to have an end game, first, of course, is so that they're like, okay, I'm not committing for life. But second, let's say that they do suck in this role, okay? You want to have an opportunity for you to be able to pull out. So this sunset clause can effectively pull that off.
That's really good. I like that. That's worth the money right there, guys. So remember that one. Man, Josh. And so I know that the resources that you've created now with this Lead Volunteers is something that goes over all of these kind of things and much, much more.
Lead Volunteers is an online master level course and download implementation system. Now, let me say that again. Lead Volunteers is an online master level course with a downloadable implementation system. This is intended for ministry leaders to, number one, get organized, number two, stop the revolving door of volunteers, and three, prevent personal ministry burnout. So listen, it's a resource. You got a couple of videos. You got some downloads that you can instantaneously implement. But here's the deal. Everything that we've discussed today is a part of Lead Volunteers. Everything has been clearly defined and pre-written. They're in downloads ready to implement. So like the sunset clause, the scripts for how to release somebody, the like every particular conversation that you're like, oh my word, that would be, if you've listened to this, you're like, that would be really good if I had that. Well, Lead Volunteers has that done for you already. This Lead Volunteers is a DFY, not a DIY. Tom, do you know what DIY stands for?
Do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Listen, ain't nobody got time for that. Sunday is always coming. There have been so many years that I sat through breakout sessions at a national conference, yeah. Right? And they said, you should. Wouldn't it be nice if you? And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And I have these great ideas. I fly back home. And Sunday, the demands, the tyranny of the urgent, I don't get those things done. So I created Lead Volunteers, not as a DIY, do it yourself, but as a DFY, a done for you resource that allows leaders to print and implement immediately. So for instance, if you had a challenging conversation that you needed to have, that script about being the soccer coach plus I think seven other ones are done for you. And then you can copy them, edit them, do whichever you want, but at least you have a starting point, yeah. Right? So Lead Volunteers is this DFY done for you resource. I got to tell you, somebody said to me one time, wow, Josh, how long did it take you to build this? And my answer is very simple. Just about 45 years, just my entire life's work. And I mean that both tongue in cheek, but also, in all seriousness, this resource is the culmination of an entire lifetime spent working in ministry. And it's really, Tom, seeking to provide people with an easy button or a starting point to have all of the complexities of leading volunteers dialed in just a little more.
If there's some things that people want more info on, how would they go and find out more about Lead Volunteers?
Yeah, the easiest way, of course, would be to go to leadvolunteers.com. That's leadvolunteers.com. If you're sitting in your car and you would like to find out more and you're not in front of a computer, you could also text the word volunteers to 515-500-5889. I'll say that again. Text volunteers to 515-500-5889. But again, the easiest way is to go to leadvolunteers.com.
Great. Hey, Josh, thanks for taking time to be on this episode and sharing with us. If there's ways that people want to get in touch with you, what's some of the best ways they can catch up with you?
Yeah, Yeah, I am pretty prolific on social media, on Facebook. I hit a lot of the closed social media Facebook groups. I am on Facebook probably more than I am any other platform. So just Joshua Denhart is kind of my name that you can find me. And in addition, I'm starting to be on Instagram a little bit more, and that would be under Kidmin Science, KIDMIN Science. If nothing else, go to leadvolunteers.com, send me an email, and I can do a quick video tour with you, a personalized tour of what the insides of Lead Volunteers looks
like. That's awesome. Hey, thanks again, man, for joining me on this episode. I'm so glad that we got a chance to share about your resource, and I hope people will take a good look at it and see if it's a good fit for them. So thanks, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, this has been fun. This has been fun to kind of to even solidify more of my own thinking about this, right? I mean, this is an ongoing process, but this has been fun today, Tom. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. So again, guys, thanks for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. If you need any help, coaching, encouragement, reach out and touch base with me, PT Bump on Twitter, on Instagram, or go to tombump.com or kmccoach.com. You can reach me in lots of those different places, but if I can serve you in any way, shape, or form, that's what we want to do. Or reach out on the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. And if you're yet to have joined that group, come over and join us. Fill out the questionnaire and apply to join our group. There's a lot of great discussion there. Again, Josh is part of that group, so you can always tag him in there and ask a question about the lead volunteer stuff or a volunteer question specifically. So thanks again for listening. Join me again for another episode of the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PT Bump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.